This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Daylight time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday.
I spent the entire break on YouTube looking at ski chair accidents, and some of them are terrifying. The best one, look up chairlift accident in Saskatchewan. There's a 12-year-old boy.
Uh-oh.
No, it's incredible. So they're on the chairlift. There's two parts about this. My man, he's 12 years old, and he falls off the chairlift, but he does that. He grabs onto the side of it, and he is dangling there. And he managed to hang onto that thing for 2 minutes until it got to the top and then casually drops off, like right near the top, and they go down and they get him, and the kid's fine.
He skied down the hill?
Yeah. He's got a snowboard attached to him. That dude hung on for 2 minutes. Dude, that's amazing. And the worst part about the video is there's three other people on the chair, including an adult. They do nothing the entire time. There is an adult with his arm casually around another person. No one does anything.
So maybe they don't know him, and also they're afraid that they're going to get pulled off the lift.
But they don't, I mean, they don't lean over. There's no
bougie skier behavior. That's not surprising.
Really?
I think
this is it. Like, I'm telling you,
I don't know about
look
that.
Up this video. The most shocking part of it, besides the
I don't
fact,
know if I'm certified to be helping young Johnny.
Bougie skier behavior.
As this kid just dangles for 2 minutes.
What would you do? Try to pull him up?
You would think.
Aren't you going to fall if you try to pull him up?
I wouldn't put my arm around the girl next to me and how about just leaning over and offering the kids some support?
Maybe you need to keep your girl safe. Well, don't want her falling off too.
You don't know if they weren't supporting him. Maybe they were saying, hey, hold on, you little S-head.
Just go to YouTube and do Boys Survive Scary Chairlift Incident Unharmed. And it is incredible. Yeah, out of Saskatchewan. Look at this. So look at this kid dangling, and I want you to look at the three other people in chair and realize at no point do they do anything other than what they're doing right there. That is an adult with his arm casually around the person next to him, doesn't even look in the kid's direction.
Yeah.
For 2 minutes?
Well, he was probably, to bring it full circle, he was probably doing what the 12-year-old in your neighborhood was doing earlier today when you were talking about that.
That's the adult that shoved him off?
He's yeah.
Like, get out of here.
And they're like, dude, I ain't helping that kid.
Dude, that kid's a pimp, though. 2 minutes?
Sad.
And then he falls off and is like, I got this. And then snowboards down the hill.
Well, just as much as not helping is bougie skier behavior.
Yeah.
I think dangling from the ski lift and then getting off and skiing down the cherry pile is very on brand for skier bro.
Hey, dude, I was too busy grinding my absolute face off.
I was good, bro. I was fine, man.
My arms are a little tired, but yeah, I got this.
Yeah, baby.
See you the next one down.
Well, anyway, welcome in. It is me, Rop. Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
What's up, dude?
Isachi. Ryan Buckley is here.
So, dude.
And we're partying.
Yeah. Ow.
Because it's Wednesday.
Just not on a ski lift for me.
Coming up in the club tonight, Coors Light is changing its name.
What?
Did you know that?
Mm, I did not. Isn't that like the most popular like beer in America?
Well, it's only temporary, but I'll tell you what they are doing.
Okay.
And then we have our Falconer story. The Team Falconer.
We didn't get to the Falcon penis story.
Nope. He had penile implant surgery.
Not the Falcon, the Falconer.
Yeah, the Falconer did.
What if the Falcon had penile implant surgery?
Wouldn't that be something? Falcon's out just showing off to his other Falcon
Which
buddies.
Should not be a fireable offense, you know.
The club's like, we can't have a Falcon with a big penis.
All the other Falconers are just, you know, they're a little intimidated.
So we'll tell you why this guy got fired, and the team needs a new Falconer.
Yeah.
Coming up in the club. But right now, it's the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
America, yeah!
Number five.
Today in coaching interview news, Robert Saleh met with the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't think Saleh did a bad job there in New York. He just got handed a crappy quarterback.
And Mike McCarthy got the private jet treatment to go up and meet with the Bears.
Well, you know Bears fans pissed off about this. If they hire Mike McCarthy, people in Chicago may just riot.
Yeah, I don't think he's like... Is there any fan base that's like, yes, Mike McCarthy?
No, and I'm not saying he's a bad hire. He's never really done a bad job, but nothing will piss off a fan base more than a retread boring Mike McCarthy hire.
Also reports the Raiders and a Ben Johnson marriage picking up steam.
Yeah, and we thought at the beginning that that may be the worst of those jobs, but maybe the Tom Brady thing and the ability to have a clean slate and find your quarterback, maybe that's attractive to Ben and living in Vegas and a bunch of money. Cliff Kingsbury house, what was that on the Hard Knocks? Bet you.
Number four.
Bet you that Ben Johnson Vegas pad would be pretty tasty.
Donovan Klingon. You know him. He's the center for the Blazers.
He's one of the centers for the Blazers. He's not dominating.
Diagnosed with a mild ankle sprain, he will be reevaluated in a week.
Can we also play the fun game of he'll be reevaluated in a week, and then they're going to say that it's going to be another week for reevaluation?
Yeah, they'll have to work him back.
Yeah, and they got to work him back. He'll be out like 3 weeks as the Blazers go into absolute disaster tank mode.
They've lost three in a row. Don't look now.
Hey, that still was one too many.
That was a quality loss last night. Because that
was.
I mean, against the Nets, who suck and were the same record as you.
You were favored.
That defensive effort might be the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Are you saying you watched it?
I watched a little bit of it, yeah.
I saw Scoot had a monster game, and this is really
that's
perfect.
Why I
39 points and 8 threes for Scoot, and then you lose the game on top of it? Perfect.
Yeah, Scoot had, like, an all-time performance, and it didn't matter. Because, well, you decided not to play any defense. I turned it off.
Number three.
Which, by the way, the complete unknown, very good.
Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers declares for the NFL draft.
I'm surprised. He does not have a high grade when you look at draft predictions. He could make more money coming back, but I wonder because it's such a weak quarterback class. I mean, there are only two real quarterbacks. Maybe Ewers thinks that it's an opportunity to move up. As opposed to maybe coming out in a deeper class, but he did not do himself any favors this year. And like Carson Beck, same thing. Like he came back. I'll bet you Ewers could have gotten a $5-6 million bag to go somewhere.
Well, wasn't there a rumor
rumors of six somewhere.
Yeah. Notre Dame.
Yeah. Notre Dame were a Big Ten team, but
maybe he comes back. He still can, right?
Yeah, yeah. He just says, you know, maybe this is a negotiating ploy to get the price tag up because he is. whoever drafts him, I mean, this is the definition of a project.
Kenny Dillingham gets an extension at Arizona State. He'll make close to $6 million next season. And the Ducks losing defensive lineman Jamari Caldwell to the NFL draft.
Number two. Yeah, he got an extra year if he wanted it because of the JC thing. But he said...
Ravens Bills in Buffalo calling for some pretty nasty weather, as we were talking about on In the News. 8 degrees by game time. And at least a 40% chance of snow.
And I don't think this really punishes either side. I mean, both sides are comfortable, physical, running the ball. So I don't know if this super favors one side or the next. This is like Miami going up into frigid conditions.
As for Zay Flowers, Baltimore's top receiver, he did not practice today. And he is, they say, an outside chance to suit up on Sunday. The Colts have been designated the home team in the NFL's first ever game in Berlin next season. We are not sure yet which of their home games that will be.
Yeah, so we don't know who the other team is.
Well, we know a pool of teams. Yeah. We know who they're playing at their home games, but we don't know which of those games is going to be over there.
I hope we send them someone decent, because we are sending them the Colts.
Colts-Jags.
I feel bad when we give Europe, like, Giants-Jags.
Well, the 49ers do play the Colts on the road this year, and since this is a home game for the Colts, the Niners are a candidate.
All right, that'd be all right. Just have to watch Anthony Richardson play, but, you know. The Germans do love their football.
The Germans. Yeah. They sing John Denver.
Do they really?
Yeah, they sing, Munich is where they have been playing, right?
They do Country Roads.
They do Country Roads. They love it. By the way, I watched a John Denver concert on Hulu last night.
How'd that go?
I couldn't take my, I don't know how it went.
I've ever seen John Denver. I've never even seen a video of him playing.
Yeah, so that's what was curious to me is that I was like, there's a John Denver. I'm a sucker for watching concerts.
Yeah.
And John Denver was on there. I'm like, you know, what is a John Denver concert like?
Is anyone rocking out?
No. And so I watched it. And I fast forward through some of it. But, you know, he played Thank God I'm a Country Boy and got it going.
Did it get the people going? Were they doing
In Japan. This was in the early 80s.
Oh, boy, that's weird.
And it was very folksy, very hippie.
The Japanese know what John Denver's laying down.
They loved him.
Really?
But, and I'll get to number one here in a second.
You're wrong now that this is my number one thing is I need to see John Denver in Japan?
You know, I don't know what to make of John Denver. But I will say, he could sing.
Yeah.
He could sing.
Absolutely.
But all of his songs, like, as I watched it, I'm like, all right, well, that's a lot like the last song. And but he was really good, very polished, good voice. It's just, I don't know, there's not much.
One note?
Yeah, he just stands up there and strums a little guitar.
Is there a difference between, Fill Up My Senses and...
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of awesome.
Rocky Mountain High, leaving on a jet plane.
Yeah, he played that.
That's John Denver, right?
Yeah.
Leaving on an airplane?
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah, I'm a Country Boy.
I mean, it was...
I kind of want to ask the BTJ's family over there in Japan. I'm like, hey, what do you guys think of John? What if her brother got a text from me right now simply asking, hey, what's your view on John Denver? What time it is in Japan?
All the Japanese...
That John Denver's full of... Man.
All the Japanese ladies were coming up giving him flowers and gifts.
All right, it's 10:30. I'm texting Atsuya right now to see if he's got a lowdown on what the Japanese think of John Denver.
Well, it was a big show, 1982 or whatever, they said. Anyway, 2025 College Football Hall of Fame inductees have been announced, and there is one duck on the list, the great Haloti Ngata.
He is one of the three or four best college players that I've ever saw with my own two eyes play. That dude was an absolute killer.
18 players, four coaches in all, among them Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Mike Vick, Michael Strahan, Steve Slayton, Graham Harrell, Monty Ball. You get the picture. That's your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. A little college football playoff championship talk next on The Fan. All right. Coming up, we're going to look at the divisional round of the playoffs. Because it's coming up.
Yeah.
Starts playoffs on Saturday. But first, Monday night here on The Fan, we have Ohio State v. Notre Dame.
Yes, sir, we do.
For you guys.
I know the college football playoff for some, the seating was all wacky, but we've had some great games. And from an audience standpoint, you can't get much bigger brands than Notre Dame and Ohio State, and we get to piss off the SEC by not being there. I mean, this
second year in a row, by the way.
Yeah, this has been fantastic. I know there's some kinks to work out, but anyone that thinks that this hasn't been a great year of college football, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what you're watching.
Notre Dame, 8-point doggies.
Yeah.
To the Buckeyes of Ohio State.
Definitely the us against the world and no one believes in us.
Oh, no, no, wait. I thought it was Ohio against the world. Am I wrong?
Like, I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now. What he said about our team. What he said about our team. I cannot believe. This is a tough team right here. We're proud to be from Ohio. And it's always been Ohio against the world. And it'll continue to be Ohio against the world. But I'll tell you what. I love those kids. We got a tough team.
Little old Ohio State, right?
Why does he say it's always been Ohio against the world?
I don't know.
And how many kids on that team are not from Ohio?
Like, everybody.
A lot of them.
Everybody. Jeremiah Smith's from Florida, by the way. Will Howard went to Kansas State, for God's sakes.
I mean, I'm kind of against Ohio, but it's not the world.
You're against Ohio?
I don't like Ohio.
I got nothing against Ohio.
I think Ohio is sneaky bad.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I just mean the state.
I've never spent any time there, you know, but
I've seen it get compared to Florida from time to time. So yeah, Ohio versus Florida.
It's sneaky
bad. But with worse weather?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like with Florida without any of the appeal.
Yeah. I'm looking at the best things in Ohio. I've heard Cleveland's actually a nice, enjoyable city. No?
Rock and roll Hall of Fame?
Okay.
Got the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force.
I feel like we do this a couple times a year where we talk about whether Cleveland is cool or not.
I'm just saying Ohio in general.
It's not.
No?
Sneaky bad.
I've heard of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium is supposed to be quite nice.
Okay, great.
I got Cincinnati.
Have fun out there.
You got all the sports.
There's nothing in Cincinnati, dude.
Cincinnati nothing. Bengals, Cincinnati Reds. I got the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Skyline Chili.
I don't know. I'm not ready to say that I'm against Ohio. I'm not.
Well, Ryan Day thinks it's the world against Ohio.
That
so
is true.
Jump aboard. But, you know, the Irish, this year, Notre Dame is 13-2 against the spread. And you know that the only two games they didn't cover were against the MAC?
Well, obviously one being...
And they've covered their last 11 in a row.
11 in a row.
In Illinois.
They're 4-0 against the Big Ten. They beat Purdue, USC, Indiana, and Penn State. But yet, no one's really given Notre Dame much of a chance.
No, not really, because they win, but it's not necessarily in the most impressive fashion.
Well, these teams met in 2023, as we mentioned, and Ohio State won by 3 in South Bend. Those were just last year. Mm. 2 years ago, they met in Columbus, and Ohio State won by 11, 21-10. So they've been close games.
Yeah. I just
don't know in what areas Notre Dame... Like, I don't know in what areas Notre Dame is going to have success.
Well, and this is my question, and I guess that I would pose to anyone. And look, we know that if you muck up games and teams don't play that well, you can get drug into deep water. It happens. But from a logistical standpoint, when I'm looking at advantages, right? And we'll get to, because Notre Dame has a good defense, but Notre Dame is also very, very beat up on both sides of the ball. But let me ask you, offensive line. Even with Ohio State's injuries, Notre Dame has their own offensive line injuries. Advantage, Ohio State.
No question.
Quarterback, advantage, Ohio State.
No question.
Running backs, advantage, Ohio State. Notre Dame's got one who's really good, but he's beat up. Ohio State has two. Tight end advantage, Ohio State. Wide receiver advantage, Ohio State. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Notre Dame is really good. You know who else is really good? Ohio State. Ohio State defensive line, when healthy, and they are, Notre Dame's is not, advantage. Notre Dame secondary, really good. At least you could say that Ohio State matches them in the back half of their defense. There just isn't a lot of things that I can point at and say that Notre Dame has an advantage, because even if you're going to say the defenses are equal, the Ohio State defense has a much easier job playing the Notre Dame offense than Ohio State does playing the Ohio State offense. So there just really isn't a lot of areas outside of Notre Dame is battle-tested. They're not going to panic, and hopefully they can slow the game down. There's just not a lot of ways that I'll point to this and say that Notre Dame should win this game.
Yeah. I mean, they got to get some stops like Texas did, kind of drag them into mud.
Yeah.
And run the ball. And Riley Leonard is going to have to be a big part of that.
And that, yes, he is going to have to be a big part of it, because he doesn't really throw the ball particularly well. And Notre Dame is not going to be allowed to just kind of, mill around. Ohio State shot themselves in the foot. Remember, they got the ball and they went down, scored on Texas. And I believe their next four drives all ended because of Ohio State penalties. Yeah. You can't expect Ohio State 2 weeks in a row to do that, which means that Notre Dame cannot spend that first half monkeying around with the football and then thinking, hey, in the second half, we'll drag them into deep water. They have to get out to a much better start, and they need Riley Leonard to come out throwing the ball. Remember, they didn't do anything offensively in their last game until the backup came in when Riley Leonard got his head bounced off the turf.
Yeah. Doesn't give me much faith in Notre Dame.
No, it does not.
I'll be pulling for him, though.
Yeah, I will, too.
It's kind of cool to see Marcus Freeman win it.
And when you've got a team that's kind of, I'm not going to say they're white-knuckling it. I mean, they beat Indiana and they beat Georgia by double digits. But when you watch them play, and I would say this about Georgia, I say this about Penn State. I thought this way when they played Texas A&M. I thought this when they played USC. When you watch them play, nothing they do is really overwhelming. They're just solid and they're comfortable being close games. Yeah, well coached.
Special teams is good.
And when you watch Ohio State play, at times Ohio State is absolutely overwhelming. So this just comes down to me of if Ohio State shows up to this game and brings their B to A minus game, I think they win this thing comfortably going away. And if they don't, then yes, Notre Dame can be in this, but this is all about what Ohio State does.
Well, but I mean, I think the point there is, you know, if Ohio State doesn't have their A game, it's because Notre Dame took them off of it, right? Yeah, I mean, it's
possible.
Like, that's how you, like, they're not just going to steamroll them. Notre Dame is going to try to put up, a fight.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel that maybe they're capable of that, just, again, mucking up the game. But you'll know early.
Yeah.
If they're not, right away, it's like, oh boy, it could be a long night. I mean, we've had nothing but blowouts in the college football final.
Yeah,
nothing.
For a while.
Since 2018.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be surprising if Ohio State wins by 30.
Yeah.
Especially because it's game 16 and Notre Dame is absolutely hanging by a thread with injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, everybody's hurt.
Yeah. And Ohio State seems to have righted their, because the only way that they were hurting was on the O-line, and it feels like they have righted that ship and it's no longer an issue.
My point there was, If this is a close game, let's give Notre Dame credit for that.
Yes.
Not just, oh, Ohio State just didn't bring it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they did. Notre Dame just, this is what they do. They knock you off the ball, and all of a sudden you look up in the third quarter, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Why are we only up two?
Yeah. And that's
how they roll.
And that is what you will have to do. But you talk about this a lot. When you have a narrow pathway and one pathway to win against really good teams, That's usually a very problematic thing, because Ohio State can beat you in multiple ways. Make no mistake about it. Ohio State should win this game. They should win this game comfortably, but, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda. It doesn't always happen. But, you know, I what's the spread on this?
Eight.
And that's a lot of points. And I probably will not bet this. If I had to, I would take Ohio State and I'd lay the points. I just don't know, like with Texas, you know, they had the best corner in the country, and they still rolled bracket, sometimes three-man coverage towards Jeremiah Smith. I don't think Notre Dame can do that and hold up in their front. And so, I think it may be a pick your poison sort of thing.
You know, also lost in the Penn State game, because we're all talking about how bad Drew Aller was.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard turned it over three times.
Yes.
Didn't he? Or twice?
I think he turned it over three times.
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Well, Riley Leonard's not, I mean.
He can't be Quinn Ewers out there.
One and a half good quarterbacks left in this playoff. It was in the Final Four.
God,
Ewers being the half.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that? Where are the star quarterbacks? Usually, if you look at the national champions, it's not always, because Alabama, you know, is a team that has had some, I mean, they won one with, who was the kid? Who was the Alabama quarterback that
they won with a bunch of crappy kids?
McCarron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so you get those.
They won one with the transfer. Was it Cocker from Florida State? I mean, they did? Yeah. The big white kid from Florida State that transferred in, Joe something or other.
So, I mean, it's not that unusual, but it's just.
Jacob Cocker, was that it?
Jacob Cocker.
Usually you get to the Final Four, like Michael Penix last year. Yeah. You find some special quarterbacks, and the reason their teams are there partly is because they have really good quarterback. You don't have
No.
Any of that.
Have you seen the NFL? Have you seen the quarterback class in this year's draft?
It's ugly.
Well, yeah. Dude, it's bad. You got Shadur and...
And it kind of feels like next year there's not a lot coming either. Like, I don't know if it's just college isn't who producing is the next, as much there.
Who's the next stud, whether it's this year or next 3 years, in the pros?
I'm trying to think of who
has... Good question.
Who has a lot of hype. Because the only two players that have first-round grades... In this year's draft are Shadur and Cam Ward.
Cam Ward could be pretty good, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean they're the ones with two first round grades and no one else. I mean, they're saying there may not be after those two, there may not be another one till the middle or late of the second round. I'm trying to think of
Could it be Arch?
Who's a guy? Yeah, Arch could be someone.
We gotta wait for Arch Manning.
That gets a lot of love. That kid from Tulane that ended up transferring to Duke. I know some people have been pretty high on him. Drew Aller was supposed to be, but thanks for coming. I'm all right there.
Yeah, they got Art. They got the kid from Tennessee, Nico Iamaleava.
Yeah.
Lenora Sellers out of South Carolina.
And by the way, the Nico kid is really, really rough around the edge. A freshman, but is very, very rough.
Garrett Nussmeier at LSU.
Yeah.
They got your boy Jalen Daniels.
Rob. Get out of here with that. Yeah, has the Penn State quarterback ever been good in the pros? Like, who's their best one?
Their best
Collins
one?
Was pretty good.
Kerry Collins,
yeah,
probably.
Kerry Collins was probably the best one. He went to a Super
Trace
Bowl.
Trace McSorley.
Again.
Scranton Strong.
I think we're going back to, you've had one.
Todd Blackledge, was he good?
No, he was not good.
Christian Hackenberg?
Didn't Tony Eason or Steve Grogan, I think one of them might be a Penn State quarterback. Those old, the New England Patriots split quarterbacks.
Matt McGloin.
Boy.
Oh, that's the Scranton guy.
Boy, I'm telling you, you're right. I'm looking at the 20. I thought this year's class is bad. I'm looking at the 2026 draft, and maybe guys may lift themselves up, as he was saying.
Like, I mean, we talked about him. Like, there's nobody after that, really.
Lenora Sellers, Nico Nussmeier, Jane Daniels.
They've got that freaking Malachi Nelson kid on the list.
Drew Aller, Sam Levitt, Jackson Arnold, Miller Moss.
Sam Levitt?
Levitt could turn into something.
Yeah,
maybe. Cade Klubnik, Carson Beck. I mean, it's just.
Klubnik?
It's bad, right? And you may get some kids that elevate.
I was going to say, some of those guys will pop.
They might get better, but you don't get the same feel about them as like, oh, he's got the pro arm. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of that out there right now.
No, and the two guys that we said were going to be the number one and number two draft picks in this year absolutely bottomed out. One kid came back because he was so bad, Carson Beck. And the other one with Quinn Ewers, some people are saying that guy could be a third or fourth round pick in this crappy quarterback class. So... I don't know. Maybe we're just going through a weird spot where we don't have elite quarterback play. I mean, we talked about this going in the full bracket in this year's tournament. I mean, it was Dylan Gabriel, and we saw how that went against Ohio State. But outside of Dylan Gabriel,
it was Ewers, probably the best.
It was Quinn Ewers, and then just a lot of. It's a lot. I'll tell you, if Riley Leonard wins, that will be one of the worst quarterbacks to ever win a national championship. I mean, he is bad. I'd also like to point out that last year at Duke, Riley Leonard was talked about as a top 10 NFL quarterback, and now no one's going to touch that guy.
All right, we'll move on to the divisional round of the playoffs. Playoffs coming up next. Here's Buck.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, looking ahead to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, we're going to have
playoffs.
We're going to have a lot of cold weather. So Detroit, obviously in a dome, but Philly, Kansas City, and Buffalo hosting the other three games.
You're saying Buffalo, like what, 8 degrees?
That's what they were saying. No wind to speak of, but 8 degrees and a 40% chance of snow.
And it's interesting in that one is, you know, if you took a team that's maybe, you know, the Rams or even a team like the Commanders, put them outside in conditions like that. But the Ravens and Bills are both rugged physical teams, don't mind running the ball, and are used to playing in rough conditions. So obviously it favors Buffalo. You're at home, little more cold weather. But if there's a team that's built to handle that, you would think the Ravens in that power run game would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, with Jackson and Henry,
yeah,
I just feel like I don't know, that Ravens Bills game is awesome.
Yes,
that is such a big boy matchup. But I feel like Baltimore is maybe just a little bit more well rounded. Is that fair to say that maybe Buffalo is a little, maybe just a hair more reliant on Josh Allen?
Well, I think when you look at it, obviously Buffalo doesn't have a lot of names. Buffalo is the definition of just solid team, and then they've got a superstar, where it does feel maybe because you know Derrick Henry, but no Zay Flowers. I mean, I think largely they're kind of the same unit in that they rely so much. I mean, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, they're the two MVPs, and they're the most dynamic quarterbacks in the league, and I mean, their offense is uniquely built around both of them. I just think you get the idea with Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews and then Derrick Henry. I think it just, you get a little bit more of it's a known commodity with the Ravens.
It's a known commodity, but I also feel like in a game, if you're talking about a weather game, I could see Baltimore winning with, you know, throwing 10 passes.
Yeah.
I don't know that I see that with Buffalo.
Yeah. And remember, they did play earlier this year.
Oh, Baltimore beat the crap out of them.
I mean, they beat the brakes off of them.
You know, the thing about the Bills, their defense is vulnerable to the pass.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford got him. Jared Goff torched him. Mm-hmm. But if the weather's like that, you know, and Lamar's certainly a lot better in the pocket than he was, or used to be, I don't know what that does. Because that's kind of where the Bills are vulnerable is through the air.
Just, yeah.
But if it's snowing and it's cold, I don't know how much of a, and Zay Flowers is out.
Baltimore averaged, so they had three guys, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, and Justice Hill. They ran the ball 34 times combined against the Bills. Now, Milano was out of this game, so, you know, they've gotten some guys back, and Rousseau has made a big step. Both of these defenses, by the way, are playing much better than they did earlier in the year. Remember the Ravens defense at the beginning of the year was like, what the hell? And both have really stabilized, and Buffalo's gotten healthy along their front seven. But Baltimore ran 34 times for 271 yards. That's 8 yards a carry.
Wow.
Derrick Henry went 24 for 199, and then Lamar went 6 for 54. I mean, Buffalo, and maybe it's better that it's just snowing and you can say, like, hey, we're just going to put 8 guys in the box, no Zay Flowers probably, and hope that Lamar can't beat us with his arm. Because if that first game is any sort of indication, Buffalo can't do anything unless they figure out how to stop that run.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that about the first meeting, because I was sitting here thinking the Bills, you know, you kind of got to beat them through the air if you want to really get to their defense.
Dude,
Bills' defense is not, it's not as good as the Ravens. It's just not.
They got absolutely gutted against him the first time around. But again, this is a unit that has gotten better, but it's also a unit that has given up some big plays. Remember, the Rams put up 44 against them. The Lions put up, I think, 42 in a losing effort. So I'm with you. I'm rooting for Buffalo. I kind of feel like Baltimore is the more complete team.
Well, what's interesting about these games is 3 of them are rematches.
Yeah.
The one we haven't seen is Washington-Detroit. But the other 3 are rematches, and it's very interesting. You know, you always hear, we go back to this whole thing, this Ohio State-Oregon thing. It's so hard to beat a team twice in a season.
Nah.
It's not. The numbers don't show that. No. Usually, there's a reason why the first team won. It's because they're better.
Yeah.
And in these 3 instances, it's very interesting that the Eagles beat the Rams, and they beat them not only this year, they beat them last year as well. The Ravens whooped the Bills, and the Chiefs beat the Texans.
Yeah. The one,
so and all 3 of those teams are favored.
Yeah. The one that I don't think has much of an opportunity, actually, I think there's 2 of them. I think the Commanders are going to get drilled. I know Detroit's beat up defensively. Washington's a great story. Washington is not a great team. They rely so much on Jaden Daniels and his legs, and they're great on 4th down, and they skate by, but they don't run the ball particularly well. Their defense leaves a lot to be imagined, and this Lions team is one of the 2 best offenses we've ever seen in the NFL scoring touchdowns. The only offense in modern times that has scored more points than they is that Peyton Manning Broncos team the year they got thumped. So, and David Montgomery's going to come back. Zeitler is going to play their guard. I just don't see a way that the Commanders keep up with the Lions. I think they're going to get drilled. And then I just have no faith whatsoever in the Texans. I think the Texans have serious, serious problems, especially on the offensive side of the ball. KC has 3 weeks of rest. Their defense is going to be well rested. I need to go through and see, because the Texans are 10-7. They won because they played in a crappy ass division. What about that offense do I particularly like, other than Stroud and Nico Collins at times? And the defense has been pretty solid, but you're going up against the 2-time defending champs on the road, and I'm expecting this Texans team to somehow turn it around. Which, by the way, through the first half of the game they played last week, their best play was a snap over CJ Stroud's head, and that's what got him going.
Yeah, I think. Well, one, we've already seen this game again. Yeah. This is a rematch.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that first meeting there is because nobody's betting that the Chiefs aren't going to win, right? Yeah. Like the Chiefs have just have. The pedigree they have, they've proven that even if it's probably going to be close, because that's what the Chiefs do. The Chiefs are 0-5 this year when favored by 7 or more
against the spread.
So they don't cover big numbers like this. Yeah. If you look at that first game, and I remember watching that game, that was the Tank Dell game. Remember when he went down and they started, you know, everybody was bawling on the sideline in Houston. Look, if you look at the numbers in that game, absolutely identical. The Texans and the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
The only difference was C.J. Stroud threw 2 picks.
Yeah.
And the final score, 8. And this spread is 8.
Yeah.
Now, my, you know, like I say, I always like to say bet numbers, not teams. To me, I get what you're saying about the Texans, but I don't understand why this number is 8. Because the first time they played, which wasn't that long ago, it was 3.5.
Yeah.
And yes, it landed on 8, but if you look closely at that game, Tank Dell really took a little something out of Houston, and they played toe-to-toe with Kansas City. They just turned it over twice.
Yeah.
Now, if they do that again, they're going to lose probably by double digits. But if they don't turn it over, You know, the Houston offense actually did have success in that game, and their defense is playing great right now.
Yes, it is.
And Kansas City, that is not a team that blows people out. Like I said, 0-5 this year when favored by 7 or more. So, I mean, just on betting just raw numbers, I don't know that I'll bet it because I have too much respect for the Chiefs, but that Houston number seems wacky.
There's two teams in this thing that I don't think are very good teams, and that's the Commanders and Texans, and they're playing the two best teams. I don't see where either one of those games is in danger. The Bills Ravens and I think the Eagles Rams, I think those can be coin flip games. I think those have a chance to be really, really, really good games. I do not believe that with Commanders and Chiefs. Now watch those other two games be blowouts and the Texans and Commanders both knock off the one seeds.
Well, Houston, you know, there's another thing about them is, you know, everybody said that about them last week and they won by 20.
Yeah.
So they just, I don't know, they're gritty. Their defense is pretty damn good, and they have a good coach, and they have a good quarterback. It's just their offensive line issues. I don't know anybody would be betting on that offensive line against the Chiefs' defensive front, right? No, but again, we just saw this game, and they actually held up okay. You know, the other number I wanted to throw out about the Chiefs, 19-28-2 against the spread when favored by 7 or more with Mahomes as quarterback.
Yeah.
So 0-5 this year and 19-28-2. We've talked about this over the years.
Yeah, they play with their
Kansas
fruit a lot.
City does not blow teams. They blow bad teams out.
Yeah, they
when games like this, they don't often win by double digits.
No, they play in the margins. And really this year with the Chiefs, it's funny because a lot of people don't think the Chiefs have been very impressive. They're 15-2, and one of those games they absolutely laid down. But I think there's this belief that maybe the luck is going to run out because you look at the Chiefs this year at 15-2. That Ravens game, one possession, could have lost.
That was week one.
Week one. Then the next week, Cincinnati, right? One possession, could have lost. The Atlanta game, very close, one possession. What were some of the other ones they had? I mean, most of their games are one. The Buccaneers game was one possession. Something they should have lost to the Denver Broncos. Remember, they had the blocked field goal.
Yeah.
So
that's what they do.
They did lose to the Bills. The Panthers ended up being a 3-point game. The Raiders ended up being a 2-point game. The Chargers ended up being a 2-point game. So you look through, I mean, my God, one play goes the other way and you could be staring at a Kansas City team with 4 or 5 easy losses. So it's 15-2. It's the 2-time defending champs, but there hasn't been a whole lot that's been impressive. If the Chiefs were playing either the Bills or the Ravens, I would 100% take the Bills and the Ravens in that. I think the Chiefs got very, very fortunate that the bottom half of that bracket, whether that's the Chargers or the Texans, are really, really flawed teams.
Well,
coming
we're
out of that side of the bracket.
If they win, they're going to get one of those two teams next week.
Yes.
Bills, Ravens.
Yep.
And I just, you know, this Chiefs team, we all trust them in the, you know, five minutes left, fourth quarter, you trust them.
Yes.
We've seen it a million times.
No one outside I trust
that,
more.
Outside of that.
Yeah.
They are not the old Chiefs of, you know, Tyreek Hill and
no. And they've
200 yards from Travis Kelce. And
I just believe that, and we'll see the health again. The 3 weeks off should help Kansas City. They're talking about this is as healthy as they're going to be all year.
Yeah.
I just think the Super Bowl will run through who, and probably the champion will come from that Bills-Ravens game. I think those are the two best teams in the NFL, unless the Lions, again, just can manage to get healthy and keep it together.
By the way, I have one more Texans note for you here.
What do you got?
Well, I'm going to give it to you next because we're way over.
All right.
In a stunning development.
It happens.
We have done it again.
I just don't like the Texans.
The Texans did something last week that only 3 teams have ever done, and all 3 of those teams won the Super Bowl.
Well, I'll be damned. Well, now I'm intrigued. I still don't like him, but I'm intrigued.
Next on The Fan.
All right. I found Hello Team Nada.
True story.
Rugby highlights.
What?
Wow. And it should be illegal.
What?
That some
to be Hello Team Nada?
Some poor bastard in high school had to play rugby against Hello Team Nada, and they gave him the ball. Like, that's
they so someone had ball. To tackle him without pads on.
Yes.
They gave Haloti the ball?
Yes. Mm. You in high school, playing rugby with no pads, had to get in the way of Haloti Nata.
Well, you go at the ankles, right?
It's
bite them kneecaps off?
The highlights, I legitimately just feel bad.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
So a couple numbers to leave you with here before we get into the club. We've got, Buckley just mentioned this, and I had no idea, but we have a new winningest team in the NFL in terms of franchise win percentage.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
I was going to
say. Yeah, not total wins, but
total
percentage.
Wins. It's got to be like the Packers and Bears and the teams that have been around forever. Win percentage.
Yeah, so the Cowboys did have the highest win percentage in NFL history.
They're right there out of town.
They no longer do.
I didn't know that. How about them Cowboys? So someone that won last week. Who would have played last
the
week?
The Baltimore Ravens are now the winningest team in NFL history.
But they're the Cleveland Browns.
By winning by percentage.
Are we counting the...
I think this only counts their win percentage as the Ravens.
Well, that's stupid because that's not true. They're the old Cleveland Browns.
Well, whatever. And the other one I wanted to tell you about was...
I like that you're like, oh, that's dumb.
Houston. So you don't like the Texans?
I do not. I have zero faith in Houston whatsoever.
And I get it. You know, I think a lot of things... Here's the thing about Houston. And one more thing about Houston that I feel like leads to a lot of people thinking they suck. But they just don't suck. Their offense has problems. They're not winning a Super Bowl.
No.
But last week they won by...
Yeah.
They dropped 32. Well, I know they got four picks, but their defense is really good.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that really hurts them is that on Christmas, they laid an absolute egg against Baltimore.
Yes.
Baltimore went in there and beat them 31-2. I mean, they were bad.
Yes.
And I was reading up about that game, and they were saying that they were dead tired.
Yeah.
That game was a little bit of an anomaly, at least to them. And you can believe that or not believe that, but they said that they were just on short rest, and it was the home team Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they were just absolutely gassed. So I think a lot of people saw that and go, oh, and wrote off the Texans, but I don't know. I mean, they just, here they are.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll say this. I mean, they beat the Bills earlier this year, so... You know, I mean, it's,
well, actually, you could make the case that they have better wins than Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking here throughout their schedule. They've got wins against the Bills.
Yep.
Trying to look at who else they got. Well, they might just have. I think their only real good win is the Bills.
Who's the Chiefs? Ravens.
I just want to double check and make sure that I'm not missing something. They lost to the Vikings. So this is who the Texans beat. The Texans beat the Colts, the Bears, the Jags, Patriots, Colts. They lost to the Jets, for God's sakes. They beat the Cowboys, the Jags, the Dolphins, and the Titans.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking that I know what I'm thinking of. It wasn't that they have a bunch of good wins. It's that they have a lot of really close losses against good teams.
Sure.
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit, Green Bay. Yeah, they've been
Kansas City.
But yeah, they have one good.
But they
win.
Beat Baltimore. Yeah, Kansas City though. I mean, the only really good team they've beaten this year is Baltimore, and that was in Week One.
Yeah, and again, I'll say this about Kansas City: if you want to have faith in the Texans, is Kansas City is they just live by the skin of their teeth. I mentioned they have five or six games, and look, sometimes one possession games don't tell the whole story, right? Someone scores at the end, and it goes from a 10-point game down to a 3-point game, but. I remember the Ravens. I remember Cincinnati. I remember the Broncos. I mean, those are games where they were on life support. Like, I mean, God, Denver was kicking a chip shot field goal, right? And Kansas City finds a way to block it. I mean, they skated by the skin of their teeth in a bunch of games this year. So if you're the Texans, you know, Kansas City, I think, doesn't scare anyone. They just know that they're hard to beat because they have Mahomes, they have Reed, and... You know, that they are the definition of battle-tested. So you certainly can't write them off, but they don't have the most dynamic offense in the world. This is by far the worst that their defense has been during this run. The defense is no longer just this elite juggernaut, although, again, they've been beat up and now they're going to get rested. So I don't know if the Texans are necessarily scared of them. It's just that when I watch Houston this year, I think their offense has taken giant, and I mean giant, steps backwards, including C.J. Stroud. And I know Nixon has good numbers, but when you look at some of the advanced metrics, it's one of the most inefficient run games in the NFL. So, and I'll go back to last week. Remember, that offense in the first half was so putrid against a good Chargers defense, and then they snapped it over Stroud's head. They got a little momentum going, and then... The Chargers just crapped the bed after that, and the Texans were able to get something going.
So last stat, Texans are just the fourth team to ever get four interceptions, have four sacks, and an interception return for a touchdown in a playoff game. The only other three that did it won the Super Bowl.
Oh.
So therefore,
Super Bowl.
You can deduce
book it
that the Houston Texans are Super Bowl champions.
You heard it here first.
There you go.
They might be the last team that I would pick to win the Super Bowl in this group.
Not the Commies?
I'd pick Washington. I don't think Washington.
Yeah.
If you told me which team is more likely to win, I'm going to take Houston in Kansas City over Washington and Detroit.
I would probably. I need to.
Washington's not ready to win
I need
that
to
game.
Rescind my statement. Yes.
Washington's not ready to win that game. No. Houston just played in Kansas City. I think they could win that game. Yeah. I don't know that they will, but they could.
And Kansas City tends to, you know, like you said, muck around and.
There's value on the Texans is all I'm saying. I don't know if I'm going to bet it because I the Chiefs, man, they're the masters.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You know. I do know that the Jayhawks are getting their ass kicked right now.
Yeah, they're going to lose by 20.
Yikes. You did.
Oh, no.
You said Iowa State was really good at the start
of
this game.
Dude, they're nasty. Yeah. They are nasty.
Well, go Cyclones.
Yeah. Well, only 16. That's good. Well, it was like a 3-point game 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But
it just got out of hand.
Anyway, why are we still talking?
I don't.
Why are you still. Why is your mic on?
I can fix that here.
Okay. We'll be right back. Club 1080. We've got the Falconer story, and Coors Light is changing its name. Next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.